Okay, here we are in Parshas Emor, and we're going to be looking at the psukim surrounding the Mikalel. In the Chumash, it's page 692, and in our packet, it's on page 5. Okay, page 5. So, the Torah gives us the story about the blasphemer, and a little bit about his background, so which is not really so important for our purpose tonight, so we'll just skip that. And we're going to begin with Pasuk Yud Gimel on page 692. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, hotzeis ha-mikalel. Moshe wanted to know what to do with this fellow. And so they put him in a prison, or in some type of holding cell, rather, to find out what Hashem was going to tell him to do. So Pasuk Yud Dalet says, hotzeis ha-mikalel mechutz l'machaneh, v'samchu kol ha-shomim esidihem al rosho, v'rogmu osok al oida. Everybody's going to place their hands on his head. Those who heard it, rather, maybe anyone who heard the cursing of God's name, will place their hands on this fellow's head. And then everybody's gonna stone him. Tell Bnei Israel to daber limor. Tell Bnei Israel the following: Ish ishki kalel uhav v'nasachetu. Anybody who curses God will have to carry his sin. We know kev shem Hashem osimas ragom yugmu kol oida kager kwa izrach v'nakol shem yumas. When this happens, everybody's supposed to stone the individual. And then it goes on to say, "V'ishki akek kol nefesh adam mosumas." Anybody who strikes somebody else is supposed to die. Makay nefesh behima yishal mena nefesh shachas nefesh. And if you kill an animal, you have to pay for it, a life for a life. V'ishki yitein mum b'amisel kasher asokin yasalo. And when a man puts a blemish in somebody, the same thing that he did has to be done to him. And then shever takas shever ayin takas ayin shein takas shein kasher yitein mum b'adam kain yasin bo. That just as you put a blemish on somebody, has to be done to you. You strike and kill an animal, you have to pay for it. If you strike and kill a person, you die. So a couple of preliminary remarks.
The only was a painful death and was slow, probably, if they did it right.
Right. So it depends. It depends on how it was done, of course. Now we have to just mention it's important to have this brief discussion. Insofar as the Torah, when it describes these kinds of deaths and the death penalties of Beis Din, so first of all, the Gemara talks about Makos about how death penalty by Beis Din was not a common occurrence. That's number one. No. Number two, it was not a common occurrence. Death penalty by Beis Din. That's number one. Number two, rabbis are even critical if the Beis Din ever kills anybody. Okay, that's number two. Number three, there are two examples of this in the Torah where an individual is described to have been stoned to death. Now, I have no reason to suspect that it didn't happen and that it's just a mushel. It's not the way that we view these two stories. We view them as things which actually happen. And so the question is, how could such a thing happen? So I think it's important to bear in mind that there is a difference between having a Moshe Rabbeinu and a direct line to God, when Moshe says, okay, we're going to put him in a Mishmar until God tells me what to do, on the one hand. And on the other hand, there is, I'm trying to remember where I saw this, was it in the Meshech Chachma? Some years ago, I saw a comment that said that the death penalty of the Mekoshei Sheitzim had such an impact on the people that they were extremely careful, for example, about Shabbos. So Shabbos, which gets a lot of mentioning in the Book of Shmos, gets a number of mentions in the Book of Vayikra, gets a number of mentions in the Book of Bamidbar. It's only mentioned once in the Book of Devarim. And you know what that once is? In the repeat of the Aseres HaDibros. Why? It's the only time Shabbos is mentioned in the Book of Devarim. Why is that the case, that Shabbos is only mentioned once in the Book of Devarim? Because the people didn't need to hear about it. They got it. They got the message after the Mekoshei Sheitzim story, which is fascinating to consider. But anyway, the point being that this, in general, is very distasteful to us, and it's very difficult. So now you look at the psukim here, which describe shever tacha shever, ayin tacha ayin, shin tacha shin. What on earth does that mean? Does it really mean that you knock out somebody's eye, your eye gets knocked out? You knock out somebody's tooth, your tooth gets knocked out? How do you do that? You go to the dentist, you have to use a pickaxe, you have to, you know, you can't get it right. So Parshas Mishpatim, where this episode is described, Ayin Tachas Ayin, Shein Tachas Shein, he proved there how the language of the text, the Ksav HaKabbalah, proved there how the language of the text He's referring to mammon, referring to a monetary punishment. So it's much harder here to do that. Okay, I don't want to turn back to Mishpatim to show you how he did it. That shir is, I believe I put it online, so you can look it up. But here, how do you do that? Okay, so now we have to see the magic which he pulls in explaining this system. Okay? Okay, so we're going to start it with this on the bottom, page 5. The ish ki ten. Ish ki ten. With me? Bottom, page 5. Ish ki ten. Parsha zuk kashim od. He says this section is extremely difficult. Kilafi pashu sadvarim nir barur, because according to the simple understanding of the text, it seems clear. Shachova b'chaveiro, that when somebody strikes his friend, chiyavato Torah onish begufo. The Torah is advocating a corporal punishment. Kamur, as it says, Kasher asa, Kain yasalo, just as he did, so should be done to him. Shever tacha shever, etc. The Amarod, Kasher, turn the page, page 6. Kasher yitin mun ba adam, Kain yinasin bo. It says, if you put a blemish in somebody, so should be done to you. But davar zeh yisnaged al teva adam v'dato. He says, this should be extremely counter to a person's nature and our person's understanding. To do these kinds of punishments against somebody, which, you know, by the way, we know that these kinds of things are actually done in the literal sense in some corners of the world. And maybe, I'm not saying that he's doing a backhanded slap, I don't know if this was his kind of experience that people did this kind of thing, but maybe in his own way, if there were people who were doing these kinds of punishments, oh, you stole something, we're going to chop off your hand. Oh, you knocked out somebody's eye, we're going to knock out your eye. He says, that is not human nature. There's a barbarism attached to that. So how could the Torah, therefore, say such a thing? In our rabbis have taught us the truth. Somebody who strikes his friend does not have to get a corporal punishment, but has to pay money. So some say that what the Torah is doing is just saying what the person really deserves. Okay? So that's what the Torah is saying. This is really what the person deserves. That's what the person deserves. I am B'divrei HaMefarshim. He says, sorry, that does not satisfy those of us who are seeking truth. Hech tazkir haTorah haOnesh haya ra'ui l'chol olav. How could the Torah give us the punishment that the person really deserves without telling us really what the person, how the person should be punished? In other words, if the rabbis are telling us that the way the person is really supposed to be punished is money, a fine, a payment, or several kinds of payments, right? Tsar, Shevas, Ripui, Boshas, whatever, okay? Then how come that is not what's explicitly in the Pesukim? V'nira li'bira Pesukim b'derech ha'karov el ha'pshapa ofen she'askim al'ashonim ha'muskam b'teva b'da'as ha'adamim ha'kabalah u'zeh. He says, so I'm going to show you now how what we know to be the truth, that we're talking about a money fine, a monetary punishment, how that's in the Pesukim. And it follows in this way. Now we're at the part which is in bold. Yadanu, Sha'os Havav, or Aso Gam Kain, Kimilas Kain. He says that sometimes, you know, typically when we see a Vav at the beginning of a word, the Vav means what? A Vav at the beginning of a word means? Usually means and, right? Mm-hmm. He says that sometimes it means like the word Kain. So too, such as, etc. Lashvas Davar Ladavar, to compare one thing to another. Comparative. See, even I know what that one means. Okay? A comparative. Perglach. What?
Perglach
means?
Perglach means to make evenly balanced.
Okay. An evenly balanced. Okay. Kemo Maim Karim Al Nefesh Aifa Ushmua Tova Meretz Merchak. In other words, to even things out. Targumo Hechana Shmuasa Tavasa, to have a good, and basically, right, and Shmua Tova, an even balance. Ha'isa Yad Hashem Achem V'Avosichem, Tagmo Kama Dehos V'Avosichem, V'Yuchach Gvar Imeloa V'Nadam L'Re'ehu. Basically, the point is that there's supposed to be an evening of things to make things even. Kain, Os, Vav. I'm now in the fourth bold line, or kind of the fifth bold line. Shamilas V'Ish, Kan, Perush, Kamo. Kain, Ish. So what was the language of the Pasuk? It said, V'Ish. Ki yake kol nefesh adam, Os yimas. V'Ish. V'Ish. Kain, Ish. Or Kamo, Ish. Just as. So what does that mean? Ki acharei she'amar ma'ken nefesh be'ma yishalmena amar acharav v'ish ki tein mum ba'amiso. Right after it says that when you strike a behema, I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong v'ish. Okay, killing somebody, that's one thing. There we understand a punishment of a death penalty, theoretically. Again, it's very difficult to do that, but we understand. If you murder somebody, how that could be a punishment. But I think people have much less of a problem with a murderer being put to death than they have with an injurer being given that injury. And there's a problem in general with the injurer being given that injury, and that is the question of degree. One person, he loses an eye, maybe he survives and he's okay, you know, and he'll manage without the eye. If you try to take away somebody's eye, there is a chance that you will kill him. And then it's not Kain Yaselo. And that's the major concern. So here's the pasuk. Pasuk Yedches says, "Umakein nefesh be'ma yishalmena." You strike the animal, basically you kill the animal. Yishalmena, you have to pay nefesh tachas nefesh. So what does that mean? I kill your $500 cow, I got to pay you $500 for the cow, or I can give you a new $500 cow. That's what nefesh tachas nefesh means. Okay, that I compensate you for the loss of your cow based on the cost of the cow. And then he says, "V'yish ki tein mum ba'miso." So let's go back to the Ksava Kabbalah. What is this parenthesis, Rabbi? Za oich venin yomend zainin nechsten ferletzt.
Yemand, somebody. Zain nechsten, somebody that hurts. Ferletzt is to hurt.
Mm-hmm. All right. So basically, you have to pay for what you did. Ratzel Omar Kemoshe b'Maken Nevesh b'Ema Yesh Tashlumin Kacha Adin b'Ish Ki Tein Mum b'Amiso. So in other words, it's based on the smichus. Pasuk Yerches says that if you strike an animal, no matter what the damage is, you got to pay for it. Nevesh Tachas Nevesh, whatever you did. B'Ish Ki Tein Mum b'Amiso. The V'Ish, the Vav tells you Kemochein. So too, when Ish, when an ish does something, puts a mum in his fellow man, which means what? Just as you had to pay for the animal that you did whatever you did to, so too you have to pay for when a man does makes a mum in his fellow man. After saying, so he's saying that the vav in the word v'ish there is comparing the kind of punishment that's given to the person who strikes his fellow man in some way, injuring him, that the punishment follows the same kind of punishment that's done to when one strikes down the animal. In both cases, killing the animal, injuring the animal, you have to pay. Same thing if you injure another person. So then the Torah goes on to describe what is the degree of the payment for the mum? Al ze amar, kasher asa, ken ye aselo. Just as the person did, so does he have to do. Ein milos asa ye aselo musavim al achovel. It's not talking about the one who struck. Rak al hamum vehanechbal. Kasher asa, ken ye aselo. Just as what was done, in other words, just as the mum was, kain ye aselo, so he needs to repay the person. That's the point. Kiloshan asiya yishamesh gam kain al agamul uschar amaisa im tovim ra. Just as what he did, he has to repay. Sheresh Powell. In fact, that you don't leave over the payment, you have to pay the worker on time or right away. The ferdienst. What's ferdienst? Ferdienst. The earnings. You have to pay for the damage. For your mas atzdaka shalom, but somar char atzdaka alone. Kasher magi alehem k'mas harishayim k'mas atzadikim shinyan gam kein inyan schar. Yom asher ani yoseh. Yeah. Skip to the word v'ta'am. V'ta'am kein ye'aseh. That remember. Kasher yaseh kein ye'aseh. So should be done. Kein yihiyeh lo gemul. Again, we're talking about the nechbal. The person who was damaged, Kein Ye'aseh, means he should be given back. He was damaged, he lost an eye. He should be paid for that eye. That's the gemul that you do to him. V'tam kasher asa, be'erech ha'hefzeit she'asa amun b'nechbal. Kasher asa means according to the estimated damage which was done in the mum, in the damage done to the nechbal, to the guy who was injured. In the maser der shadinim getan, zolim dem beshad geten, zu gut geten werden. Clear, right?
Just as
it is
evil, so he shall
do him
good.
Right. According to the amount of the damage which was done, he has to pay the guy back. Again, so it's not saying that is done. The chiddush here is that the word lamed vav, lo, that what's done to him is not what's done to the person who did the damage. It's what is done a second time to the person who was injured. That he has to be given gemul. Kasher asa, what was done, kein yase lo, gam to the guy, to the same guy. He was injured, he needs to be compensated. V'hu al yidei tashlume nezek gufo. And that is through payment to the damage done to his body. Shesamen oso, they pay him, mashen nivchas al yidei amum, what he loses in his life through this injury. Again, however, that's really defined. If in a slave market, that's not really a very good litmus test, because sometimes a slave can be sold very cheap. I would imagine that I don't know that litmus test would be forever. It would probably be more than a slave. What is somebody who has one eye worth in a work? Maybe that is. I don't know. It depends on the injury, I suppose. Right? A one-eyed fella is certainly worth less than a two-eyed fella, perhaps. But it really depends on what kind of job he's doing. And nowadays, you might say an accountant with one eye is just as good as an accountant with two eyes. How do you do that? A two-armed fella is worth a lot more than a one-armed fella. But there, you can actually measure it in terms of, physical labor, etc. So it would have to be a good equalizer in terms of figuring out what the right payment is. Ve'im tistakel b'lashon ha'mikra shamar ye'ase lo yinasein bo sheik tepol asiyah v'nasiyah le that if you are careful with the language of the text where it says yinasein bo or yeaseh lo, where the Torah says yeaseh or yinasein before the word lo or bo, tir'eh she'ein ha'kinuyim chozrim al ha'chovel. So that's the point that he's making, that you see that the pronoun lo to him is not going back on the one who does the damage. Gim kain hayroi lagdim akinu lepoav lamar kain lo ye'aseh kain bo yinasein. Look back at the language of the text. V'ish ki tein mumba amiso kasher asa kain lo ye'aseh. It should be done back to him. But the fact that it says Yitain mum ba'amiso, kasher asa ken ye'ase lo. It says if you parallel the language, ish ki yitain mum, kasher asa, that's on the ish. Ba'amiso, in the guy who is injured, ken ye'ase lo, goes back on the guy who is injured. Because of the way that it formulates the grammar. if it was going back on the person who did the chavala, the person who did the damaging, it would say, kasher asa, Cain, lo, to him, it should be done. But since it says, Cain, ye asa, lo, and if you even look at the trup, you see how it says, Cain, kasher asa, Cain, so too, ye asa, lo, you should be doing back to that guy in terms of the payment to the same fellow. I'm back in the text here. If the word lo appeared earlier in the pasuk instead of as the last word of the pasuk, then it would be applying back to the fella who did the damage. But since it talks about the action first and then the pronoun, the words lo and bo go back on the guy who was damaged. And therefore, it is a payment to him that is a follow up to the injury which was done to him. And therefore, it's clear because you're not punishing. If you're doing something to the guy who was injured already, you're not punishing him again. What's going on? The punishment, therefore, is actually the payment which is done to him. It's about the payment of money, which is going back to the fellow who was injured. If you understand the way language works, then you'll get it. The first, you want to talk about the main thing here. What's the main thing here? What needs to be done? What needs to be done is for the benefit of the person who was injured. And therefore, once it talks about the benefit to the one who was injured, then it says, lo, that it goes to him. Lamed vav, it goes back to him. Okay. The Kamosha Kasub Bivayera Parshas, when it says, Ben Lisara Ulisara Ben. Okay, those are two examples of where whatever is the Ikar comes first, and then afterwards it is tafel. Okay, what's the idea? When it's ulisarab ben, right, what's the promise given to Abraham? It's not about you, Abraham. You already have a child. What's the ikar? That Sarah is going to have, and that you're going to have it with this wife, not with a different wife. It's going to be Sarah. To what? A child. But again, what's the ikar there? That it's Sarah. Ukamoki lo lo yihia hazara. That was Onan, right? Remember? Er died, and then Onan was told to take over to do Yibum for his brother. And when he saw that lo lo yihia hazara,
he will not have.
Okay, that it's not going to be for him. Okay? Lo lo for who? For whom? For Onan. Right, if it said yeah, Zera lo, then it would say that it would mean it was for heir, that it's not for heir, but because the lo comes first, then it's referring to Onan. Hakohen asher yichaper bo lo yihia la kohen lo yihia. So to the kohen, it goes back on him. La kohen amakrivo so lo yihia, to him it will be on for the kohen. Right? In other words, his point is he's giving a bunch of examples of where the pronoun appears determines what the definition of the pasuk is. Okay, so now getting back to this pasuk, on the next line it says, don't ask the question, how come the pasuk says, kasher asa ken ye asa lo? Why does it say, just as he did, so should he do, or so should be done for him? Why does it use this language of should be done? And it doesn't say something which is more clear. For example, Kein yishalem lo, just as he did, so he should pay the guy. Ki be'emes lo shayach lashon tashlumim kiim kishe nisinas adamim yimelu kamus usach hatviya kula. He says, you can't use the word tashlumin, shalem, unless you are fulfilling in a complete way exactly what was the damage which was done, which actually fits very much in line with what we saw before. Remember what we saw, the difference between shlemus and tamimus? Shlemus is
whole.
How much in which kind of definition? Quality or quantity?
Quantity.
She says, I can't say shalem, because how on earth can you how on earth can you ever possibly quantify what is a proper compensation for the loss of an arm, for the loss of an eye, for a loss of a tooth, for a loss of a whatever? You can't. And so therefore he says that you can't use the word tashlumin because there's no way to pay that completely. The only way that can happen is if the guy will have no time anymore. Because you've paid for everything that the person lost. It's impossible to pay back. So when you borrow a precise amount of money, so you understand what this thing is worth. You borrowed $100, you have to lishalem $100. Okay, that I understand. Love erusha v'lo yishalem, right? So whenever we're talking about a finite amount of money, then we understand. Okay, v'chein, now on page 7. V'chein b'tashlumei nezek, shalem b'shor amuad, amar shalem yishalem, shor tachas ashor. We understand, a shore is a shore, right? It does a job, it does work, it's worth whatever it's worth. It's not like one shore is worth more than another shore, necessarily. Maybe one shore is, but you can qualify what, or you can quantify, rather, I don't want to use the word qualify, you can quantify what that value is. You have to pay a quantity, which is double. So you have to pay, because you can pay, you can quantify, what the amount that you pay for an animal is. Where you could say, give me an exact amount. What was lost? What can I pay you? That you do it, that you pay back completely. But when there's a chavala, when there's an injury, and you have to get paid for five different things, right? The nezek, the tzara, the ripui, the shevis, and the boshes. Those the different kinds of damages, pain, suffering, loss of work, embarrassment, etc., doctor bills. The ain im kain mekabalos b'nezek gufo levad tashlum kol tzvi yosav. There's no way to get the full amount because there's no, how could you quantify? Right, people nowadays sometimes something happens and they sue for millions and millions of dollars.
They don't get it.
What?
They don't get it.
They don't get it, but you can't quantify that. There's no way to say what that is. You can't say, right? I remember this lady, they poured hot coffee on her at McDonald's. So she said, millions of dollars damages. Really? Millions of dollars? I mean, I don't remember I don't know what her burn was worth or whatever. Okay, did she get the payment though? I don't know. Okay. Right, okay. Okay. L'chein kan shalo dibra Torah. We're talking about damages.
Cup of coffee in my lap.
What?
I said, my wife will not allow me when I'm driving.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's to be on the safe side, but you can't sue yourself. I mean, you can, but good luck. Good luck collecting. Okay. So he says, so the Torah is not going to use the word shalem because shalem has different connotations. Yes, it means to pay, but it also means to pay the complete amount. But so there's no way to pay that complete amount. And that's why the Torah uses the word asiya alone. You got to do what's right, and what's right is a payment. But you can't quantify what that payment is going to be. So now the Torah goes on and says, shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, and shein tachas shein. Right. So what are those three different three? Why does the Torah give those three different examples? And it does not mean that you're going to do a shever, a breakage. I broke your arm, not going to break your arm. In the body of the person who did the damage, rak with tashlumei shever yedaber. It's only talking about payments of shever. Kimilas tachas haroso inyan tashlum and echsar. The word tachas does not mean that you get it in the he got a break, so now you're going to get a break. It means it refers to a replacement of tashlum and achsar, something which is missing. Kimoshasli zera acher tachas hevel. Okay, what does that mean? Remember when Shais was born, that he took Hevel's plan. Right, he's supposed to fill the empty space. empty space. But you think that if Cain had been killed, tachas hevel, right? Because hevel had been killed, you think that would have made Adam happy? Anybody?
No,
I don't think so. I don't think so. He's filling the void that's in Adam's life because of the loss of Hevel. It's a payment to compensate for something which is missing. I actually saw an incredible video this week. She's probably a Muslim woman. I don't know. Basically, some guy killed her son. Okay, when he was 14, they finally caught him. They brought him into prison, or maybe that he was in prison and he was up for appeal. No. This guy is a young man. He's a young man. Okay, she comes into court and she says to him, "I don't hate you. I love you. You were a child when you did this. And what happens is, what's the revenge? The revenge is that I am now going to be in your life forever, and I want to see that you have a." Yeah, I mean, it's just an incredible act of compassion, because many people feel like, "I want you to fry," right? And this woman was like, "I want you to have a chance at a good life." I don't know what happened. That was just, I saw her speech in court. But that's the point. It's just like, if you die, that's going to bring my son back, was her argument. She says, it doesn't help me at all. If you go to prison for the rest of your life, you were a stupid kid. You know, I can't be mad at you for something that you did when you had no concept of reward and punishment or what you were actually doing. Im asa amum ba nechbal kilkul shever, yes, alotikum betashlume shever. Right? If the mum which you did was in which you broke something, so the tikkun that you have to do is paying for it. V'cheinayin tachasayin v'nituach ma'amar v'matzav kazek asher asa v'aser b'shoditke ken yasa lo zazalim tzu gut geten verdin. You got to do good for it. Is that right? Kasher asa shever v'aser zer b'shdigit baruch ken yasa lo zazalim tzu gut geten verdin tachas shever. I hate when he does this. I can't understand what he's talking about. Okay. Zozal im zum gut get in werden tag schein es das sein mit uns schrein. Okay. Aber no no some amar kasher asa. What he's basically saying is you got to pay it back, and the way you pay it back is with money. And that is essentially the point. And he goes on and says this, kashe yitein mum ba'adam ki inyinas in bo, that it does not mean that it's referring to an actual corporal punishment. It's referring to a payment. And that is the point. And he actually brings this point as well in the next point, where he talks about inyano chesron hefech ha-tamimus. It has nothing to do with tamimus in terms of quality, like we talked about before. It has to do with paying what can be paid. We're talking about there's a qualitative kind of concern. And so what the mum is referring to is a quantitative, not qualitative, a quantitative change, and you're going to do it as best as you can in terms of paying the person back. But it is not about a corporal punishment. Look, the main point to be taken away from here is that he uses language to prove points which we know from the Chazal. But the point is that don't think that just because it's written and that you're reading it one way, that's the only way to read what is here. And he made the same point, by the way, in Parshas Mishpatim when he proved it through the text, that there it was referring to a payment of money and not a corporal punishment. So I guess the point is also to mean that if you see something which is so troubling in the Torah, and you say, it can't mean that, you have to find it in the text. And that's one of the challenges that Ksav HaKabbalah takes whenever he does Perushim in the Chumash, that he needs to make the text be in line with the way we understand and know its true meaning to be.